Good morning. Today is Thursday, May 15, 1986. My name is Elizabeth Oden, and I am visiting with Mr. Harold Jones in his very pleasant home in Worthington, Ohio, so to learn more about the older Worthington he remembers as he was growing up. Good morning, Mr. Jones. It is good to be able to visit with you and appreciate your willingness to take time from a very busy schedule. Please give us your full name for an accurate record and a check on me, and a little background of your family and your activities these days before we start discussing the old days.
My name is Harold Benson Jones. I've been here in Worthington since my sixth grade. I had lived in Columbus for a while with my aunt and uncle. My father died when I was about 2 and 2.5 years old. Mm-hmm. Mother lived here in Worthington. I was born just north of Worthington up on North High Street. My mother's maiden name was Fields, and so we are related to some of the Fields who were old-timers around Worthington, Ohio, and I came back to live in Worthington when I started into the sixth grade.
Well, that's quite a record. I knew your mother and enjoyed her very much, and she was one of the oldest residents of Worthington, and when I talked with her, she had a lot of interesting things that we were able to get on tape. And people will enjoy hearing her, I know.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very interesting person. And the fact that you've been here for a long time, you already had mentioned that many of the people here in Worthington are, you know, have connections with the very first beginnings of Worthington, really, mm-hmm. the families, and it's nice that people have wanted to stay here, you know, and I think that adds a lot to the Worthington history, and I think we need to talk and get more of that down. So it's good mm-hmm. that you're one of the ones that has been here and known a lot of those people and a part of it. And so you lived in Worthington since approximately you say since you were about 6 years old?
No, when I was in the sixth grade. I came back here when I was in the sixth grade and continued from the sixth grade to until I graduated from high school here.
So you definitely have seen much change and much growing, I'm sure, and sometimes we wish we wouldn't grow so fast.
But yes, it's been a pleasant place to live.
Well, I've been here since 59, and I agree with you. It's a very mm-hmm. nice place to live. With the schools, I think one interesting thing is to note the changes, the present-day schools. Your own family have all gone to school here, so they have, their school has represented something different from your school here. And where were the buildings? Did you change buildings from like elementary to high school like they do now?
Well, yes. I attended the sixth grade was where Kilburn School is located now. Yeah. There was a sixth and seventh grade. The fifth and sixth grades were there. And the elementary building was just to the west of the building that I attended school in. The building I attended school in had the fifth and sixth grade and a music room. At the back of the building was a gymnasium in which we played some of our basketball games, uh-huh. The basketball games were played, the high school boys came up there and played ball in that gymnasium. And the elementary building, as I said, was to the west of the building in which I attended school. Then, when I got to the seventh and eighth grade, was down the hill. That's what we call it, down the hill on 161 at the corner of Evening Street and 161, and the annex building, which stands there on that corner, was our high school, and that's where I attended the high school. Just to the east of that building, there were two buildings which they called portables.
Portable. Yes, I remember.
And then your sixth and seventh grade was in the portable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, wait a minute. The seventh and eighth grade are in the portable, and then the ninth grade through all the rest of the high school was in the annex. What is the annex building now?
Now, is that the big square building, the brick building?
That's the square building. And on the other side of the building was another portable for industrial arts.
Oh, that had its own.
Right. And when I attended school there, Mr. McCord was the industrial arts teacher.
Oh, really?
and a coach of basketball and football and the basketball.
Huh.
And so he was my coach, and I was during the time that I was in school from the seventh grade on, I saw him move from the industrial arts and the coach to being the principal. And then before I had graduated, he had moved into superintendency of the school system.
Oh.
And so there was a big transition during that time, and across from the high school, where Kilburn Village is now, was a large cornfield, and the Wilcox brothers used to put corn in that area.
Yeah.
And there's 100 acres down there, which belonged to the St. John's Episcopal
yes.
Church.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's interesting. Well, then, the building that you first attended school in the sixth grade, is it still standing, that same building?
No, those buildings, there were two buildings that were torn down, and while I was still in high school, the present Kilburn School was built on that site.
On the site, but it's a new
they included in that building this fine, what was to us a very fine gymnasium, and we played our high school basketball games up there, and on Friday and Saturday nights here in Wilmington, it was not uncommon for the whole village to shut down when we had our basketball games, and everybody was at the basketball game.
That's a nice way to share things, you know, the school and adults.
The whole town was basketball and football fans.
I was going to say, you were assured of an encouraging crowd, weren't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that gym is still in use, isn't it?
That gym is in use, okay. And that building was a building which housed the elementary school at that time.
When I came,
yes,
it was there.
It was elementary school. Uh-huh. And then down where Evening Street School is, down in that area, our football field occupied the area that Evening Street Elementary School occupies now. Football field and our track was down there.
Huh. So all of the present facilities then are new, and they're certainly much farther west.
Yes.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. And I am sure, of course, that the numbers of pupils have doubled and tripled and maybe even more.
Yes. Our graduating class was so large that we had to occupy. We occupied the stage at Kilburn School, and there were about 25 or 30 of us that graduated from high school at that time, and we all sat on the stage with the speakers, the baccalaureate, and all of that. We sat right up there.
Yes, and that that would not be possible in this day and age, would it?
No.
There are many, many. Well, do you think the curriculum has changed much? Have they added a lot of? I guess they really have, haven't they?
Oh yes. Curriculum has has increased, I think, for the better. One of the things that I've always been impressed with since I came back up to Wilmington to attend school, and even back at that time, was the effort toward excellency.
Well,
it's always been that way. Uh-huh. And they've been very proud of the fact that they had good students. We were country school, and when we would go to some of the other schools, some of our neighbor schools, which we have this terrific rivalry right now, which has developed into one of those things where they have fisticuffs now.
Yeah.
But they used to call us the Hillbillies and Hicks when we'd go to play against them. And so this rivalry has gone on for a number of years, and it's too bad that it has developed into what it has already.
Yes, I think that that sort of detracts from the benefit from the sports to the youngsters, don't you think?
It does.
Have that kind of competition.
Yes.
But I was interested in your remarking about the manual arts. It must have been a large program, and I think even, you know, when you were first into high school, or maybe it was there before.
It was a requirement at that time.
Was it?
Everyone was required to do
take
industrial arts. Then when you were in the, when you became a senior, you were no longer eligible to get credits for it. And so ordinarily you didn't bother with it when you were a senior. However, there were several of the seniors that did receive credit, because one of the teachers had to leave, and they didn't feel able to, for some reason or other, to hire or replace them. And so those of us that were seniors and had done well in industrial arts, why, Mr. McCord had us to come back in to fill the place,
vacancy,
the vacancy, under his supervision.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a Joe Baldinger, his wife is, I don't know whether she's a secretary or what at the Methodist Church, but Joe Baldinger was with photography. They taught photography at that time. And then there was a Jack Coleman, who was with the woodworking, and I taught the metal shop.
And those things are very indicative of what the school presented as a regular thing.
They had some other groups that filled in too, which we were just during certain periods that when we would have time out, and then some of the other seniors would.
But that way they could continue to offer it,
right.
And especially since they were requiring it,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
says a lot when a school does set up those kind of requirements. It signifies,
mm-hmm.
you know, how they wanted to have quality education. And I guess that's part of Worthington's heritage too, don't you think? I think
yes.
from the very beginning, James Kilburn was, I guess as a youngster, he had no education. And I was reading about him not very long ago, who said that they, it was so important to him that was one mm-hmm. thing he saw that they established here.
I thought it was really
quite,
quite an insight mm-hmm. when they set aside the 100 acres for the school
yes,
system.
Yes, it was.
And then they set the other aside uh-huh. as the farm for the church farm.
Uh-huh. And certainly the whole community benefited mm-hmm. that they could go
yes.
there. So I think probably that's one of the things that has helped Reddington maintain some of their standards. Mm-hmm. You know? So
right.
that's good. Well, so moving on, I guess we could spend all kinds of time. Oh, I was going to, well, you've already mentioned the sports. I was going mm-hmm. to ask you whether you thought there were differences in the program. And the big difference
oh, yes,
that we've come, they've expanded.
The progress as far as youngsters are concerned, they're so much more agile, mm-hmm. both physically and mentally.
Well, and I think the school, because it's located along the water and everything, has been able to give the children like canoeing and mm-hmm. archery and a lot of the things that aren't always presented in some schools, which
well,
is good.
They have, so much of it has been, you know, just over the years has just been added, almost like building blocks,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have
like
certain things that they had presented to us when we were in school, and then as society has grown and they felt the need to add on mm-hmm. Different bits to the curriculum and to the intramurals and all of this, and mm-hmm. it's been good and very healthy for the students. When I was in school, why we swam down in the river, there was and we had a little water hole that we had down on the Olentangy River at the end of River Lee Boulevard. There were no houses down in there. The streets were there.
Oh, were they?
The streets had been laid out, but when the depression came, no one had any money to build. So the streets were there, and we used to go down at the end of that street and swim, and we used to roller skate all down through there.
I was going to say, that presented an advantage,
yes.
really, for you children. Well, I think your program, even though, you know, it has grown as the community and the schools have grown, and so what the schools offered in the way of sports and extra activities like that was beyond what a lot of the schools were offering, you know, were able to offer. And so it's sort of comparable to the way it is now, but
yes.
it's grown, you know, it's not what's as large
yeah.
now. But I think that's one thing that you have shown how Worthington deserves the name it has for mm-hmm. a good education. Wow, that's interesting. Well, then I was going to ask you, you've already mentioned how there were a lot of streets, but no houses for a long time, and all of what is now known as part of Worthington and developed was just open ground.
Right.
So what was Worthington when, where were the boundaries pretty much when you were growing up? Was it
well, when I first came up here, the Worthington proper was North Street, South Street, Evening Street, and Morning Street. Just this side of Morning Street, and on this side, I said to the east of Morning mm-hmm. Street, you were outside of the village. Although, if you had a fire, why, since you had the township fire department, and which was volunteer at that time, and they would come out into your place. So you did have protection that way, and then we had a marshal or
mm-hmm. that was
Jim Talladay.
That
was the police department. And I suppose then when he felt necessary, why, then he would deputize
mm-hmm.
some people. But he was the marshal, and then also he took care of the waterworks down, which was down on the school property.
Is that right?
Which provided the water that we had here in Worthington, there was about four or five wells down there. Very clear water.
It was
We had our own system, and the water was a lot better than the water we have today.
Well, there are underground springs that.
Yes, there is still one well down there that they can still operate from if they want to, and I don't know whether they use it for irrigation or the sprinkler system at the high school or not, but there was until just a year or two ago a well that was capable of being used. Now, whether they've capped that off or not, I don't know.
But that's interesting it's still probably they could get back into it.
Yeah, I think so. And all it's very interesting that down in that bottom land down there, there are those wells, and I've been told that there's geologists that had looked at that and had examined that land, and said that there is as much gravel under there as there was over to the Antrim Park where the Millers had quarried over there for the gravel. But this being belonging to the school, they could not use the gravel. And so I'm a firm believer that there is a lot of gravel under there, because Mr. McCord at one time attempted to make an ice rink down at the bottom of the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he had to plow that up, to level that out. And he had it kind of dammed up like, and then he had gotten bentonite sand, and we put bentonite on there. You know, the bentonite is very fine, and it's supposed to lock in and make it so it wouldn't be so porous. But it still, it would not hold the water enough to have that ice rink, and it would sink right on down in because of the porosity of the soil.
That's
so it's very interesting to know some of those things.
Well, it certainly is. Well, what would you say, speaking of the boundaries of Worthington? Could you kind of think back and think when it started expanding as far as, being more built up? I think it must have been more built up in the east, don't you think?
Right. Really, the growth of Worthington, I would think, came, the population explosion came right at the end of the Second World War.
Oh, really?
That would have been. Then it just. Around
45 or 6.
Yeah, and it exploded because one of the man that had been my basketball coach, he and another man named Myers, Heisman and Myers, got together, and Heisman was the principal of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so he resigned and went into developing and real estate. And Heisman and Myers, they came back up behind where I live here in Worthington Park. They put in all those
buildings
back
there.
Uh-huh. And then they went up to up along Crandall and that area, which had all that had been agrarian.
Uh-huh.
And
that's all just, east of.
Everything has exploded and come after the Second World War. Basically, there are a few buildings that have been built, but basically all of the building and the building boom came right then.
Uh-huh. Well, in downtown Worthington, do you remember in those older times before it? Do you remember? Are the stores pretty much the same? The buildings are a lot the same, aren't they?
The buildings are pretty much the same. There are some buildings that have
the bank
that have long since gone because they're at corner of Stafford and High. There was Powell's old garage that they sold gasoline and repaired cars, and right to the south of him there was a, there had been a big old building that was a grocery store.
Oh, really?
And Taller's. That's, we've been to the west side of uh-huh. High Street, and to the north of that of Stafford and High, there was a complex in there of apartments. There was an apartment building on that corner, and people, a number of people lived there. And then down on into Woodington, where the hardware store was just a little tiny thing. And on the other side of the hardware, which the hardware occupies the south side of the hardware store, was a Kroger store. And on the other side of the street, where there was an IGA market, there where the bank is. The bank at one time was in the building that the Bonnells, right there by the Bonnells, and there was a little bank situated there. And where the big bank is now, there was a feed and grain and storage by Todd, Squire Todd was his mm-hmm. name, and the Todds still live in Woodington.
Yes, I have to talk with
him. Yeah, and his son is associated with Freedom uh-huh. Federal uh-huh. Bank.
Yes, I think that's another indication how it all, so much of it goes together, and mm-hmm. I think that helps to strengthen.
And up on the corner of the green, there was the Leisure's drugstore,
Were there two drug stores? Seems to me there were.
At one time there was two drug stores. Leisure's moved down, and then it became Long's drug store.
Yes, that's what it was when
and
I.
And then
did.
Bernie's came. Yes. Bernie's uh-huh. mid portion of the block, and then Adams came there.
After that.
And uh-huh. Adams is gone, and Dana's jewelers are there. Now,
and that's an old business, isn't it?
Old Market was there up there when I was a little kid, and it's still there, thank goodness.
Yes,
or something
yes,
that doesn't go away.
Yes, I agree.
We need an anchor, you know, uh-huh. to hold on to as we grow older. We'd like to see something still remain that we
recognize. Agree with you. Yes. Now, the Bonnell, Dr. Bonnell's house was. Is that that structure's been there for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes, well, I can remember Dr. Bonnell, when he was still in medical school, they lived there, and his father was a doctor.
Too, wasn't mm-hmm. uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember him hollering out the upstairs window and speaking as we'd go by.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, well, there was another building that it was not where the Methodist Church is, but was to the south of where the present Methodist Church is.
Well, it was seminary apartments.
Were they apartments, weren't they?
Seminary apartments, but the seminary, from what I understand, it would had been an academy mm-hmm. there of learning. Mm-hmm.
According to
there is a legend that it was a at one time the medical school
uh-huh.
and so many of those students were stealing or catching some of the people, you know, cats and dogs and things and dissecting to work on them, and so that they were finally discouraged and run out of town, and I think it eventually from what the legend says, when I was a youngster, whether it's true or not, but anyway, they said that they went on down, and that was part of the beginning of the medical school of University of Cincinnati.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't. I knew that there had been a school here for a time, but I thought maybe it had just been absorbed by the university.
They stopped somewhere between here and Cincinnati, and I'm not certain what small town it was, and then finally, eventually,
became part of Cincinnati.
Oh, well, that's what I have been told years and years ago.
Well, I remember they're talking about a doctor who had an office on near, in one of the buildings near the hardware store building, maybe where the bakery is now, and that he left town because I don't know whether he was involved with teaching some students or there was something. I know, you know, part of the history that I have read and part of the walking tour talks about that building and the fact that he practiced there for a while and then left Worthington for some reason or another. So maybe that had, they were all connected up.
Yeah, there's a number of businesses that had been, and some moved away, and some of the people just got older and they didn't no longer
to
keep their business going and stop. There was a Snoffer's dry cleaner, which is no longer in operation. There was one of the Snoffer's was an upholsterer and had a business here. And then there was a Steve Snoffer who works at the still Jim's around at the hardware up there. He's got semi-retired. He had a business where that Scandinavian type of furniture is being made.
He used to repair automobiles. Yes,
and
then there was a car agency there.
Yeah,
wasn't
well,
there?
No, prior to the car agency, he repaired cars there. And then on the other side, where that Sorrent is, the just on the other side of where they do the body shop repair, it was Hiles Ford.
Yes, yes.
Place, and they sold Fords there, and it's since it moved on down below Worthington, it finally ended up as what is
one of the large, one of the large businesses now.
That's right. I didn't forget about that.
There's been a lot of change that I've seen.
Yes. Do you remember the little house that was over next to the seminary? That
that had been, from what I understand, it had been the college was the president of the seminary. That had been their home.
Because I remember it was very close there.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting architecture and.
They moved that. Do you? Were you around when they moved that, or was that?
I was around here. I mean,
that must have been interesting to watch because it's a small house, and also it has a lot of decoration on it. You'd think that they would have had trouble keeping it together. Yeah.
Well, you know, the most amazing home that was moved around here, I thought, when I was a youngster, and I know it, and that was moved, and I don't think my wife even remembers it. But there was a house on North Street, right where I forgot now where it used to be a Texaco station across on the west side of High Street and North, in the southwest corner, and there was this huge old house there, all brick. And years ago, that North Street was basically gravel.
Oh.
And when they moved that house, it was that big old brick house. So they moved down to Hartford dead ends into North Street, and that big brick house that's on the north side of North Street.
Oh, north.
Yeah, I think the Posies had that house at one time, I think. But that big house, and it has, the brick has been painted white.
Oh, it's on the east of High.
Yeah, yes,
east of High.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they brought it down.
Is that right?
Yeah, they brought that house, and that was a big brick house, and they moved that. So, and that was the most amazing thing.
I remember that house, you know, when it came, but it was on, North Street on the east side. I never knew that it had been.
I think it's in the historical register.
Yes, I was going to say it's very old, I'm sure. Because I remember they were talking about it when it was restored. There were several people who lived in it that just added things on that didn't go with the architecture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so now they've redone it so that it's considered
part of a
registry or something.
Okay. Yes.
I can't believe that house is long. I mean, that has a lot of square feet in it.
Mm-hmm.
They must have had an extra big platform.
Yes. There was a... I remember the Bryant Moving Company was the one that moved that.
And they were...
They're not in existence now.
No, I was going to say, they were one of the few moving businesses in Columbus, even,
mm-hmm.
weren't they?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that name. Well, speaking of moving, the church, in the church history, the AME church history that I was reading, says that they moved when they first started up and got their own land and own building.
Mm-hmm.
They moved a house onto their property that they purchased. But do you remember that? Was that
before? That part, that's something I don't remember because
maybe it was before.
It still could have been during my time, but I lived in Columbus for quite a while with my aunt and uncle, and so I was just generally up this way on the weekends. Maybe sometimes it would be every weekend, and other times it would be several weekends before I would come up here to be with Mother. But so much was done that I don't remember all of what was done, but I do remember some of the areas around the church, the little old street, Plymouth Street,
uh-huh.
was a street that had made up of, they used the ashes from, Quakers from, so it was a little old street that was kind of part mud and part Quakers and go down through there. Because you see, that was just, at one
that
time,
was,
that would have been outside of
Worthing. Boundaries.
The boundaries of Worthington. So.
And some of that was probably still farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe open.
Yeah, it was still, a lot of it was still open. I can remember when I would go there to Sunday school and to church. That to the west of the building, where there was open, an open field, and then to the north, there were no buildings, and there was just some open lots. And, so. And then the old Wright place came almost all the way down
that,
to the.
That's right. That was close to
the church.
Yeah, that was another old building
the old Wright's.
That was
house.
A frame house, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So it probably couldn't have been saved.
Had a lot of gingerbread. Oh, it could have been.
Could have.
Had they chosen to, because it wasn't in that bad shape.
Oh.
But they chose to use that area for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now it would have been it would have been. Something you would have been a landmark it would probably have been very proud to have,
mm-hmm.
to have kept. It would have taken quite a bit of money to restore, but it wasn't in that bad shape.
Well, the land around it is very valuable. I guess it has a lot of unusual plants growing back there. Isn't it kind of swampy back there?
Well, it's just the nature.
There's not water, but it's just because
it's pretty overgrown. It's pretty overgrown because they wanted to save it for a wildlife sanctuary.
Yes, well, I knew that. I had read or been told that there, back in there, are some really rare plants that
mm-hmm.
you don't find anyplace else,
mm-hmm.
which is
yes.
interesting, too. Well, little church building, I think, has grown a lot you know, as time goes on, and certainly it has a very interesting history, mm-hmm. and is closely knit because of the fact that so many of the people have stayed here and their families, you know, have grown up and stayed here and had their own families. So it's a really nice part of Worthington history. Mm-hmm. So I think, do you remember any of the community activities maybe that used to take place that, you know, like parades? Of course, we still have a parade that's become a tradition in Worthington, don't we? And Memorial Day. And I guess, was that one well established?
Well, they
did.
Not that well established. The
maybe
the days that I can remember the most that the whole town enjoyed together was Halloween.
Oh, really?
And they blocked off from New England up to 161, and they'd have round square dance out there on High Street and on Halloween. And the Halloween was always
a big time.
Yes.
Well, that's.
And then they'd have a little, you could go into the confectionery there, Henry's Confectionery, and get some goodies. And they would, sometimes they would sell cider and stuff out on the street there. And then they would have this the parade of those people, and would choose the best costume, the funniest costume, the ugliest person in the costume, all that. And it was a great time.
Yeah, well, I can see where it would be. Speaking of that little place where they you could go in and get something to eat, that's one of the ones that was on the east side of the street.
The place where I'm speaking of, you're talking about the confectionery, the Henry's, that would have been on the west side of the street. That's where the present, there's a barbershop in there now.
Oh, and that used
but
to
that
be.
But that was a little confectionery.
Oh, really?
And then when the Henry's got old and could no longer run it, then there was some. People came in called Waves.
Oh, so it was an established business for quite
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard an interview of an old resident of Worthington that lived on West New England, and his name wasn't Billings, but he was, I shouldn't even have mentioned this, I guess. But anyway, he was talking about, he lived until just about 8 years, 8 or 10 years ago, and was 90 some when he died. Mm-hmm. And someone interviewed him, and I heard that played back. You know, he was talking about a big house on the northeast corner of West New England and High Street that belonged to a doctor. Was that there? It's
See,
now
North
it's
east.
Been a. Like a garage in there.
Oh, well, when I could first remember coming up here, there was a huge old house that they had, at the time I was here, they had changed over and made a eating place.
Oh, really?
Probably
the doctor's family had lost.
Probably Frank Welling.
Welling.
Was talking
yes,
about this.
Yes, that's who
Frank
it was
Welling.
That was being interviewed.
Yeah, Frank uh-huh. Welling, and I think the Wellings might have lived up there on that corner, but it had been a resident, and then they had a place, an eating establishment, similar to the old Worthington Inn. They were just right across from one another.
Oh.
And I remember helping to, when I was in high school, when they tore it down, it was a brick place, and we pick up a little pin my week, clean bricks the contractor.
Well, now he mentioned also a door or two north of that building. house on the corner of West of New England and High Street was a small ice cream business. Do you remember that?
It's Isley's.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Isley's. Uh-huh. And Isley's was there for a number of years.
I just got to ask
and
you how long.
We used to come up from high school, and that was our, you know, everybody has to have a watering hole. So yeah. that was our ice cream hole there.
And that was kind of your hangout for the high school students?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Come up there and get our ice cream cones.
Do you remember how long it was there? I mean, was it there all through your high school? And
Pretty much, yeah, almost all the high school days. And then later on, years later, I guess, after I got married and had some of our children, there was a shoe store that place.
Oh.
In that place there.
Well, that's interesting. And that's the first I'd ever heard that mentioned, too.
Yeah, I remember because we used to take one of our boys up there to get his shoes, and everyone up in Wilmington knew Pee Wee. And he was a precocious little guy. And he was well liked up there. And he liked to tease.
Did he really?
He liked to like people, liked to meet people, so everyone knew Pee Wee.
Well, that's a nice characteristic to have, to be outgoing, I think. You know, it's good to be like that.
Incidentally, his name is not Pee Wee. I just gave him that nickname because he was so tiny. His name is Paul.
Aww.
And
he
would not like it if I didn't make
Straighten that out. Paul. Where does Paul live now?
He lives in Stamford, Connecticut, and he is associated with CBS.
Well, that's an interesting that his characteristic of liking people certainly is fitting for that profession.
Yes.
That's good. Well, does he get home very often?
Oh, well, he came for not too often. He's quite busy. But he did. He took time out to come for his grandmother's funeral, which was several weeks ago.
Yes, and that was nice to have him home,
yes.
Even though it was a sad occasion.
Right.
But he went to school here too, but he probably sees lots of change.
Yes,
how long has he been gone?
See, Juanita, I told you should be here so you can help me.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I meant just more or less. Does he?
Paul left in the about 65 or 66 to go away to school. He went east to school.
Oh.
He knows. Basically, when your youngsters, when they go away to school, when they graduate, that's it.
Yes,
so
yes.
And they kind of go their way, go to different areas in which wherever they can make.
And we hate to have that happen, and yet that's what we want for them too. You know. So it's the way things go, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any particular, you mentioned the marshal and the volunteer fire department that stayed that way up until the 60s, I believe, because when we moved here in 59, my husband joined the volunteer fire department.
Yes,
and I think it was all volunteer then.
Well, they used to have a big water tower up there right behind the bank area.
Yes.
And
yes.
Upon the water tower was the fire siren. And we lived way up on North Street, not quite to proprietor, but when that thing when that went off, you could hear it up there, you know. And a lot of guys who were volunteers lived that far away, you know, and such a scramble, and you could see them come down Well, North Street was still kind of gravelly at the time.
Right.
You see this big cloud of dust, and the guys flying until you
creating
get there.
Creating their own hazard.
Yeah, so they get down there to the firehouse. Mm-hmm. And the firehouse one time was right up here where the Oddfellow Hall is, and the Oddfellow's Hall has been since bought by St. John's Episcopal Church.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
So there was there was a fire.
Right on that corner.
Yes.
Is that Hartford?
I guess Hartford and 161.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There's a fire station there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, I think it had moved by the time we came, but I remember someone else mentioning that, and that's good that you mentioned it, because I had since forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the marshal was the only police for a long time. You really didn't have that much problem, did you? You probably didn't have to lock your doors or things.
No, until just a few years ago, first time we started locking our doors, because our neighbor across the street said, "You better start locking your door." So this isn't like it used to be. And so now we lock our doors. Mm-hmm. But it was just so that all over Worthington, it was just that way.
It was just
you could go up to the door, you could walk right into a person's house if you wanted to, because the person that didn't, you know, they just didn't lock up. Unless, I suppose, they're going on some prolonged vacation.
Otherwise.
And then they would probably lock up their place. Uh-huh. They're going to be gone several weeks or so. But otherwise, no one locked their doors.
Which is indicative of the good atmosphere that, makes Worthington a special history site, I guess, too, mm-hmm. And it's indicative of the fact that there are many families who have stayed here and, have become a part of the tradition, mm-hmm. which all adds to it, and it's good. Are there any special people that in the community that you remember? Like, you mentioned, though, the policeman, the marshal, that was here. In fact, I think he still was living when we came to Worthington.
I think so, yes. Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of some of the people that had made such an impact. Now, that was McCord, Harold McCord.
Well,
he was a very good educator, and helped me to point me along the way. And not only that, he was just a good friend.
Uh-huh.
He was a good friend to me and to the other people that were here in Worthington. And what I remember by him was he tried to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he would never have made a good diplomat, because he was is either yes or no. And you either liked Mac or you hated him. Because there was not much in the middle ground. Because you knew where he stood.
Uh-huh.
Whether it was right or wrong, you sure knew where he stood.
Well, and as an educator, that's probably one of the things that children need, is a definite, whether it's your own view, but if it's definite and you don't change, children learn a lot from that. You know, if you're fair,
mm-hmm.
I think a certain amount of discipline helps children, because it gives you certain guidelines to go by. You aren't
right.
always changing, around. Speaking of that, on West, do you remember, it seems to me there was a part of West New England that was not built up for a long time, and people had gardens there. Do you remember that? Behind the hardware store?
Yes. Because I used to plow from there, right next to the Silcott's house, which still stands there, and all that parking lot that's down there, that was the area that was a garden area, and I used to plow it.
Mm-hmm. And on the corner, yeah, on the corner too, so that was
that
unique.
that whole area, and there was that was the garden area.
And the rest of it was all built up. There were houses there, which is a unique.
And then at the far end down there, at the just west of Evening Street, when it was still a farm area,
mm-hmm.
I remember Dahl Obertoffer, who was a professor at Ohio State, he and a number of the people had gardens at the east end of that farm area, that big open area, and I used to plow that.
Yeah.
I had a tractor and a little plow, and I plowed that up for them,
yeah.
And all along that
And that's an interesting combination of farm and community. You know, the community was built up, and yet it still had this atmosphere too.
It took them a while to get out of their gray way of doing things. I can well remember going over just to the west of the river, and I used to plant corn over there on some of their bottom lands, and then there was an Ed Werner who had the Werner Construction, and he had place up there on the Fontaine's River Road, and I used to farm some of his land up there.
Oh, didn't they live in a house that was on the north?
Well, they lived
corner?
Next to the Elmers. Elmers was the man that had a lot to do with oil. The detergent oil, oil first came out. Elmers was the one.
And now, in Arlington?
Yes,
well,
right next to the Werners. And the person, now his son is not in this type of business, but those big coaches, the special made coaches that are the Greyhound coaches, cost $300,000-$400,000,
yeah.
Custom built coach, a company. That is his son, his Elmers, that has that custom built coach. And I remember him, that he used to have a little old tractor similar to mine. He used to we were flying around Worthington.
Well, now, didn't the Werners live on the corner, like the north? What would it be? Northeast corner of 315 and 161. Wasn't there a big frame house there for a long time? You could turn off of. You could turn off of 315.
That was a Werner who put in the corn.
Yeah.
There. Uh-huh. Well, when he first got started, he used to borrow my equipment to get started doing what he was doing. But that's a different Werner.
Oh.
But there's an Ed Werner. It's called General Maintenance now, company that goes around and does different jobs of repair for different industries, factories or whatnot, schools and all. But General Maintenance, and that was the Ed Werner there.
Also from Worthington.
Mm-hmm.
And were they related to the people that had the corn? That family's corn had a reputation
Two Werners, though, that had corn.
Oh, really?
And they were not related either. Those two Werners that grew corn, and three Werners that lived in that area, and none of them were related that we know of.
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, no wonder that corn became so well known if there were that many people. It seemed to me that it was known all around this area.
Well, that one Werner that you're speaking of on the corner up there, well, he had been out of the School of Agriculture. Ohio State, and that started out as an experimental type of thing in irrigation of corn, and it became so profitable that he quit teaching down there and went into this to
His corn was all along the west bank of the river.
And they drew water from the river and irrigated that corn. That's why corn grew so fast. And he could irrigate it and put more fertilizer on than some other people could, because he could keep it watered.
Well, that's interesting. Now, that's an interesting thing about Worthington, isn't some of the people who lived here. Well, the one thing I wanted to ask you was about the transportation a long time ago. How did Worthington, you know, before there were so many cars, was there an interurban line that came into Worthington? Or I know there was a railroad, you know, back up.
Yeah. Well, there was the old Summit and Steelton, they call it. Car that used to come up, it came up Summit and across Hudson, up Indianola to Arcadia, down Arcadia to High Street, and straight up High Street to Worthington.
And
that was the route they used to take originally. And then they got the other route that they discontinued that and just had a route that came straight up High Street from where you saw High Street straight up to, well, the place where it stopped was where the Dairy Queen is now.
Oh, really? And then did they just turn around and go back?
Yes, they had a switch and they'd switch and turn around and go back.
So it ran on rails?
Yes. It was an old streetcar.
Old streetcar car.
And then that took you 45 minutes to get down to the courthouse, 45 minutes. But you could go up to Town Street, where the Greyhound bus station is now, and there was a place there you could get the interurban. They call it CDNM, Clumps, Delaware, and Marion.
So that was different from the streetcar.
That was different than the streetcar, and that was a limited. And you would take that, and it would come up from Town Street on 4th Street up to where the old Smith Hardware building is along the railroad, and that it would switch off, come across the bridge and down and around, and then come along the railroad, and they had its own tracks, and it came up railroad track. And where do you see this museum out here?
Yeah.
The museum, that trestle?
Yes.
That was CDNM trestle. Again, that was original trestle there. And it took you 15 minutes to get here.
Oh, so that was... Yeah. Now, did it continue north then?
It continued on north to... The reason he called it CDNM was Columbus, Delaware, and Marion.
Oh,
didn't take you very long to get there either, because it really moved. And it came right on down where you used to see that rails come across Proprietor Road.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that came down to High Street and then straight up High Street along the side of High Street. It had rails up there.
And did that run very often?
About every 45 minutes.
Oh, it did?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Huh.
And it was...
Well, how long did it take? Yes, I was going to say, how long?
I don't know what it took to go to Delaware or to Marion, but it could not have taken very long, because they would travel 60, 70 miles an hour.
Hmm.
They were fast.
Yeah. Now, what kind of power did it have? Was
electric?
Electric, too.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And then they had, used to go from there on Town Street to Dayton and Cincinnati, and then there was one that went up around Lake Erie.
Oh, really?
They would really go, because we were traveling toward Springfield once, and we were going about 65 miles an hour, which is fast, we were speeding in a car.
Yeah.
And one of those cars passed us like we were standing still.
I was going to say, it must have been a rocky. Was it a single car? Seems to me
it was
a
single car, yeah.
Was it connected with the railroad at all?
No.
It was a separate business.
It was separate.
Huh. Well, then, when did the Greyhound bus, did that supplement that interurban when the bus started in place?
It was supposed to be improvement. All this is supposed to be an improvement. But actually, that was one time that it was not all that much of an improvement because it was swifter.
I was going to say, and
a lot more economical. It proved to be a lot more, but there was a pressure, and so they discontinued it.
That's too bad, because...
Because they've talked a number of times about wanting to do this, and they talk about this North Corridor, putting on this...
access
transportation, swift transportation, but they had it at one time, and they did away with it.
I wonder, could they use the same tracks? If so, it would come
through
here.
Well, they probably could use some of the same right of way.
Mm-hmm.
They had, because the track area, I think you still have much of the track area.
I would think that they could.
And instead of going down into Town Street, they could go down to where the convention center is now.
Yes,
come out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same idea.
Well, it would be nice if somebody would use some of those things over again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, well, what about inside Worthington? Everybody just walked then, right? That was the transportation.
Pretty much.
Which is good.
Yeah. A lot of walking.
Yeah. But that's good. What's the biggest change that you think maybe, would you say it's in the area of the growth or with the schools or?
Well, to me, the biggest change for me is the fact that I don't know. I used to know everyone in Reading, and everyone knew me, and they would, everyone knew one another.
Uh-huh.
And grown so now that they're, I think it's remarkable that Worthington people still are very proud to be Worthington people, but they're, because of the numbers of people just don't know one another like they used to.
Uh-huh.
And that is one of the things that I think is too bad, is as we grow, we don't know one another.
I agree with you there, but I think there's that underlying framework maybe of the families who are really
still maintain the proudness of being Worthington, and so that part is good. At the buildings, the school has grown so rapidly, and there will come a day that they're going to have two high schools, which is, you can't stop progress.
No.
But
except
it brings divisiveness. they might be divided a lot. Where you get into a newer high school, there comes that feeling of whether you want it or not. I'm in the new building, you're in the little clunker.
Well, I think with any growth, there is some disadvantage as well as you say, progress. You can't,
stop
that.
It.
So I guess we have to accept the good with the bad. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you, and I've probably taken up a lot of time that you should have been spending.
There's a lot of these things I hadn't thought about for years.
Which is,
back
probably kind of nice for you for that reason. I hope. I'm glad that you said that you'd enjoyed it too. I certainly have. It's been very nice.
It still is a very good place, I say, to rear children. And it still has a great degree of togetherness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. More so than than a lot of other areas. And mm-hmm. I'm glad of this, and I hope we are able to perpetuate it.
Yes, well, I agree with you there. I'm certainly, I moved here in 59, but I feel that very strongly, even though I can see a lot of change too. But I think it's definitely an attribute.
Right.
So we thank you very much, the Old Worthington Society certainly appreciates your help. And I think it's good that we're getting these things down, you know, so that people right. can continue to learn about Worthington.
I'm very glad that you got a mother when you did, because
oh.
I had no idea. You know, you think people are going to keep going on and on and on.
Well, I do think that that's a hard thing to grasp, even though in the back of your mind you know that.
Yeah, you know that there is going to come a day, but...
She was a very remarkable, interesting person, and I enjoyed... I went back often to visit with her, and I enjoyed every bit of time I spent with her.
Good.
Well, I think we'd better stop for now.